Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real, I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
Welcome back to another awesome episode of the Nerdcast. It's season 5, episode 23.
106.
23, 106, wow. Whatever it is. It's, hey, I wasn't here last week, guys, so.
We know, it was awesome. No, we talked about books and everything.
No excuses.
So, Adam.
Bring your A game, Iggy. Bring your A game.
Adam, Aaron, Iggy, myself, Iggy. Adam, Aaron, Iggy, Ted. Wow, yeah, B game here. So all four of us are here. That's the point. We won't name names because I've obviously forgotten them. But anyways, everybody have a good week?
Yeah, it's a great week.
It was a little hectic at the work job, but yeah, pretty good week. Pretty good week.
It's December now, guys. I don't even believe it. All right. Well, fun talk about December. Let's get straight into things.
The year has flown by. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So, I was out last week. You three took on the show by yourself mightily, I might add. There were a lot of other additions that I removed from the podcast, mostly insults about me. So those of you that were listening, sorry, I reduced the amount. No, actually I left most of that in. But of course, a lot of exciting things going on. Of course, if you're listening to this and on release day, I'm going to put this right up front. It's Friday, the 11th, and tomorrow, Saturday, the 12th, I think around noonish. So depending on where you are, is the end of our Barons Kickstarter campaign and the end of us bugging you about Kickstarters, at least for a few months. Of course, you can always go to our store, which Aaron tried so hard to make sure she mentioned in such a wonderful way last
eloquent.
Week.
Yeah. Eloquent, mumbling, jumbling way.
She had no clue what she was saying. So, but anyways,
I have such a way.
PNpublishing.com/shop will take you right there. Or she did actually point out the store envy URL, PNpublishing.storeenvy.com. I'm making fun of her and then I'm butchering it. But
yeah,
like you said, in the meantime, go to baronscomic.com, get in on your pre-order. And the reason we say pre-order now before the campaign ends is because if you pre-order for the same price once we put it on the web store, you're just getting a comic book. But if you pre-order right now, you get stretch perks, which depending on where we are, we could be at that second level. So you get freebies with it. You might as well pay the same amount of money and get the cooler stuff from Project Nerd Publishing. We have a lot of exciting stuff to talk about. It's award season now. It's officially award season.
Woohoo!
Mainly because Fantasy Movie League is designated as that. And new season. You know what? Before we even get to the new season, I know we're a week removed, but Tyler didn't have the chance to brag in front of me, so I'm going to give him about 30 seconds here, Tyler. You have 30 seconds to get your bragging done about winning the last season.
I mean, I'm 2-time champion now, so getting ready to go for the three-peat. I won. I beat you fairly handily towards the end of the season, even after I took a weekend off, so I feel like that's all that needs to be said. Like, the final tally, I pulled away in epic fashion.
So how does that make you 2-time champion, though? Are you counting the preseason here?
Yeah, I totally won the preseason,
too. It was like we played for like 3 weeks. Like,
yeah, and I won those 3 weeks.
Okay.
Tyler plays to win, Iggy. Plays to win.
So last we checked, though, Jared took...
I have the trophy.
Your 30 seconds is up. 30 seconds is up. Jared has taken week one, though, I think, or at least last time we checked. Is that still... That held up?
Jared at 46 million. I came in second at 44 million. Tyler third at 37.9, so basically 38 million. And at 34 million, Iggy, you are down at 29 million. Aaron did not set a lineup.
I suck.
Again.
Real bad. I suck.
Can you guys, like, gonna play this
can you guys
season,
email me like 3 times a day?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, the fantasy movie emails you 3 yeah, times a week.
It does. You need to and, I mean... Now, if we don't even count the preseason, it's now been every Friday for 14 weeks in a row. And I would understand a little bit more if we didn't, you know, then talk about it every Monday.
These things are hard, man.
I mean, you could, you know, when you go your 20 minute gap on the episode without talking, mute your mic, type in fantasymovieleague.com and set your board right now. You can set it, right? Or do you have to wait?
Oh yeah, no, it's
too late. You can set it right this second. You can set
too late. I'm on it. Yeah. I'm on it.
Okay. We're still going to mute your mic though. All right.
Perfect. You mute your own mic. Ooh. Telling me how to live my life.
I'm muted there. The reason I also bring up award season is I wanted to jump straight into two things. So last weekend we pointed it out in the movie pass, was I know the Toronto Film Festival kind of kicks off the real award season, like your long stretch of it. But really, once you start getting gritty into the award shows and things like that, here's the first weekend of December is the LA Film Critics. And then, of course, the British Independent Film Awards. Well, I guess you didn't finish with an odd winner, and I wouldn't even call it odd, the runner up, but an unexpected award winner over at LA. And then, of course, with the British Independent Film Awards, and I'll butcher it because I've heard it said 20 different ways, but Ex Machina winning the BIFA's Best Picture, along with three other awards, I think they took home four. So I know screenplay, achievement in technology or whatever. So maybe just those three. So anybody, I know this is an independent film awards, but when you look at what it was nominated against, it's still interesting. As I'm going to scroll down here and find it here. Outstanding Achievement in Craft, I'm sorry, is the name of the one. But it was up against 45 Years, Macbeth, Amy, and The Lobster. I'm not familiar with The Lobster, but the other three are actually award season favorites for other awards. So kind
Lobster,
of
a... Lobster looks interesting. Lobster, I don't know if I have made you guys watch the trailer. It's that independent film with Colin Farrell in the weird world where like the single people get turned into animals if they don't match up.
We talked about it, but I don't think I haven't seen the trailer. So now, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. But either way, the other three seemed like more favorable winners here. And then especially 45 Years and Macbeth, because you're hearing a lot about those in the entire award circuit. But Ex Machina coming in and winning big on that one. So interesting way to kick off December there, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say it's surprising.
Yeah, I'll tell you another one that's been raking them in is today they announced the New York Film Critics Online, and they picked Spotlight as their picture of the year, which I saw was fantastic. But
well, L.A. gave Spotlight with the runner-up to Mad Max, and George Miller won the Best Director for Mad Max, Fury Road. So Mad Max was actually on the L.A. side taking up a lot of attention, but just like New York, Spotlight actually came.
Spotlight got Best Picture. Tom McCarthy for Spotlight got Best Director. McCarthy and Singer for Spotlight got Best Screenplay. Spotlight got Best Ensemble Cast. Mad Max did get Cinematography from the New York Critics. So
Screenplay, so over in LA, the other side of the country, Screenplay also heading to Spotlight, and then Cinematography also going to Mad Max. So it looks like Director of those four that we've compared there, the only real difference one. And then, of course, going back to Britain, I want to bring this up because Aaron will be excited about it. For Legend, Tom Hardy was crowned Best Actor.
Was he against himself? That's what I want to know. Did he get like nominated for each role, or is one of the roles better than the other one? I'm curious to see how that plays out. Or maybe he gets, you know, it's Tom Hardy against Tom Hardy against three other guys. We'll see what happens.
Dude, who cares? Don't question it. It's Tom Hardy.
I'm not questioning. I'm super happy. I love me some Tom Hardy. I think he's a phenomenal actor, but I'm wondering how the award shows, if he's going to be nominated, how they present that nomination, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you're pretty much, you're nominated by film, not by role. Like multiple people have been nominated twice in the same year for different movies, but I'm pretty sure it's just by film. So Best Actor in Legend, regardless of which of many roles he's playing.
I think that's why, like, that's what, in my opinion, would enhance his likelihood of getting nominated for something like that, because he is playing multiple roles within the same film.
Yeah. And he wouldn't be the first person to get nominated for playing multiple people in the same movie. You think back to something like
Adaptation with
Nicolas Cage. That's the one I was thinking of, doing multiple roles.
Yeah, I don't think he got an Oscar nod for it, but if I remember clearly, he was nominated at least at the level of Golden Globes for that one.
And then what's the one by the same where Edward Norton, Leaves of Grass, where he played himself and his brother? He got a lot of press for that one, and it's still technically one film. So
okay. Well, it's not as exciting as I was hoping for.
Yeah, you know, he's not competing against himself for the same movie exactly. I think it does leverage him, though, the same way that we're talking about some of these other roles, because you mentioned Ed Norton, we mentioned even Nicolas Cage in Adaptation. Those roles are different. What I've seen, and I haven't seen Legend yet, so I can't compare them, but it seems like these two brothers are very different. So he's taking on two very different roles in one movie, and very much so throughout the entire movie, not just parts of it, but very much so through the entire movie, having to play off of himself. So I think that's a challenge for sure, because how many times is he taking a cut from this angle with the body double in and then having to take it from another angle with himself, you know, redoing the whole thing and having to keep that same emotion or keep it to that same level? It's pretty challenging, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about how, you know, between Fury Road, Spotlight, some other ones pulling a lot of press. If there's one name that's popped up in all of the early awards, though, that I think is very quickly becoming what I think is the lock for an award, it is Mark Rylance in Bridge of Spies. As a supporting actor, I've seen his name pop up in almost every list as the best supporting actor. And I've heard he's just amazing in it.
So I think Spotlight's an obvious on the field for the Oscars of Best Pictures. You know, if we get to 9 or 10, like, and we've been sticking around 8 or 9 the past couple of years, but it can go to 10. So Spotlight's an obvious one. We know that's going to be there. But some of these other ones we're talking about now, I think we're all pretty much in favor to see, especially with the money it pulled in. It broke $220 million this past weekend. The Martian is most likely going to hit that field as well. What do we think about, is Mad Max, is there a possibility it's going to show up in the field of 10 for the Oscars?
I think it almost has to. I don't think it's a serious contender to win the Oscar, but I can't imagine it not being part of the field.
See, I really can. And I think it should be. I mean, I've spoken a lot about how much I really, really enjoyed that movie and liked it a lot. And thought it was very, very good. I can't see the Academy giving it that nomination. And maybe I'm stuck in a time when they didn't do that type of stuff and not giving them credit for changing, but I just don't see them doing it. I hope that they do, but I can't see them giving it a nomination. And if they did, I think it would be purely lip service, kind of like Tyler's saying, like, there's no way they're giving it the award, but, oh, and Mad Max Fury Road.
Aaron, any thoughts? No.
No.
Okay.
So you guys don't want to hear what I have to say about
okay.
this.
Okay. So we won't let you talk then. But Adam, I can see where you're coming from, because we aren't that far removed from when it seemed like it was plain as day that they've expanded the field. Or was it right before they expanded the field that we're like, the Dark Knight has just blown everything away? It pretty much changed the way comic book movies are done. It was in no way a comic book style movie. And as much as right now we look at it and we say there's no way a DC movie could affect the Marvel movies, but it's definitely led the way for things like Captain America to not play to the normal comic book movie. It shattered numbers at the box office. It owned the year in every way. And everything leading up to it was saying, this is finally something different, something not your traditional, I'm 70 years or older, I have to pick this movie, it's going to make it to the field. And it got snubbed. And then I feel like there was also something else that happened even after the field expanded. There was one or so that was kind of similar in the past couple of years that we thought, this is not your typical type movie. It's got to be, it's going to, but it's done so well, it's going to be nominated. And they got snubbed. I can't place that one. But Dark Knight, and that's, yeah, when you really look at it, that's not that long ago. So it's really a big possibility that Mad Max could just be snubbed off here. However, playing both sides of the coin, I mean, we have things like, what am I thinking of? A Wolf of Wall Street being nominated last year, which I know in a lot of ways is very award style movie, but in a lot of ways, you guys remember us talking about all that buzz leading up to it, about how far out there this is that people were going to be worried about it being on the list. So I don't know.
But that one gets in, if nothing else, because it's a Martin Scorsese movie. Like
that's true. I'll give you that. Martin Scorsese is definitely a good one. But
I mean, I think there's people who see his name attached and just give it the vote.
I guess the way to say it's a little bit more liberal than even it was a couple years before.
I don't know. I think Mad Max it's a tough to compare it to something like a Winter Soldier, just because while they both got really good critical acclaim, the critical acclaim that Mad Max got was very different. And that it was definitely more traditional acclaim, you know, like it got acclaim from the people that you wouldn't typically think that would give it to it. I think it has a really good chance to get nominated. I very, very, very much doubt that it has a chance of winning, but I would be shocked if it's not, doesn't make the field of 10.
Yeah, what I'm worried about is that they don't do a field of 10 and it's just not in there. Like they go to 8 or 9 and don't put it in there because, and I'm with Iggy, there was a movie like 2 years ago, we had this exact conversation that they went to 8 or 9 and they just left it out. I can't remember for the life of me what it was, but there was definitely something like that. And we thought, oh, you know, I remember thinking when they moved to 10, like, excellent. Now all those movies that should have gotten nominations and actual consideration are going to do it. And then they rarely go to 10 anymore. I think it was just that first year they went to 10.
You never really know too, because last year even, and I don't think this was, I feel like in many ways it was a snub, but it wasn't as like a, it shouldn't have been there and it wasn't there. But Gone Girl snubbed up and down that ballot when David Fincher has been a normal contender. When you add Trent Reznor to Fincher, that's a not only contender, but normal winner. And for him to not even get nominated for that score, for it to get not nominated for Best Picture. And then we all remember the whole time traveling epic involving Aaron, because Ben Affleck wasn't even nominated for Best Actor, which was kind of shocking all the way around. So, you know, snubs happen too. So it's one of those things like you never know what to expect really when it comes down to it, even when you can kind of get some predictability from the rest of the award season. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Mad Max over the next month really starts pushing its way in there.
Yeah, I think the reason it gets in is just because of the way they've changed the nomination for Best Picture is so different from almost every other award, in the sense that basically a movie just has to get like 5% of the total votes cast have to be for it to be Best Picture for it to make the ballot. So, and if there's more than 10 that get 5%, then they'll do an abbreviated variation of them. But unlike the other roles where the voting is much more stringent, like getting on that field of 10 is not as, I guess, onerous as it used to be. So
it's true. Very true. It, you know, getting into that 5 is a little bit more difficult and it used to lead to a lot more snubs, but either way, tell us your opinion. I know at least 3 of us really, really liked Mad Max. 4 of us enjoyed it, but 3 of us really, really liked it. And I could see it, the type of movie it was. It's when we, like I said, when we're getting more, I hate to use the word liberal, but it's opening up more when we talk about these awards. I can see Mad Max as a type of award contender. And obviously we're not the only ones, because as we just said, George Miller winning Best Director, runner up, and nominations for Best Picture across some of these early award shows. So anyways,
quick footnote, liberal meaning.
Meaning,
meaning more open, not political views or anything, yes, like
that. Less traditional.
Yes, right. There you go. So I'm thinking more as
less establishment.
There you go. Nothing to do with actual politics or the United States government. More to do with, I would say, probably a more diverse community getting into the Academy and being able to nominate different things. Probably is
anti-disestablishmentarianism.
There you go. There you go. That's a big word to say as many times as
I've said. It's not even a real word.
But. So we can make our own stuff up, Tyler. We can make it, as you guys mentioned last week, a thing. So,
Don't do it. It's a bad icky.
Anyways, the other nominees coming out too right now is around that time. It's Grammys. I don't know if people really care about that anymore. Sorry, Matt. Our one of our main comic reviewers, Matt, is associated with the music industry, so I won't try to knock it too much, but it feels like the Grammys aren't really that important of a thing anymore.
I'd say the folks in the industry are very much still interested in it. I think general population has probably dwindled its focus on the Grammys. I remember as a kid watching them, but it's probably been 20 years since I paid any attention to who won a Grammy for what, so...
Yeah, I mean, I know after it's over when they'll say who won the most or this person won multiple Grammys. The problem is I think over the last few years, there's been so much controversy over the Grammys about what should be a category, what isn't a category, we got rid of this category, how do you fit into that category versus this category, how many people can you lump into, you know, quote-unquote rock and or pop music and, you know, be so different from each other, so... I know a lot of people in the music industry, you know, get frustrated with, you know, there's categories that existed since the dawn of the Grammys that have gone away just because we don't want a 12-hour show and give one out for every niche genre of Victorian, Bohemian, death metal, whatever the hell, you know, so.
Sure. Yeah, that Victorian Bohemian death metal's huge in Sweden right now, bro.
In Lithuania.
Huge. Okay.
It's big in Lithuania. So Alabama Shakes, 4 nominations, including Best Alternative Album. The most likely pick, early pick, I guess, for Best Album is with Bruno Mars. And then 2 other kind of odd news out for there. Garth Brooks released his first album in 13 years. Many expected something here, but he was snubbed from any of the country categories. And Ricky Martin, Grammy nominated this year. That's right. So Ricky Martin.
What?
He's still making music?
He's making music.
What kind of music? Is it like salsa?
Salsa? I don't know. I don't listen to it, but I just know
he still have hot, sweaty videos?
He's still living the crazy life. Don't worry about it.
Okay. The only problem with this is that, like, he's so – I found out recently that he's gay. And I feel like
– Hold on.
Recently?
Yes. We're going to pause this one moment here.
Wait, what?
Aaron recently found out.
By recently, I mean 5 years ago.
That's very
which is still about 5 years later than everybody else knew. And I think it was because I was holding out that someday he would pour hot candle wax on me in, like he does in the videos, you know? But I guess he should still make videos, and it'd be cool if they were like hot, sexy, sweaty, gay videos. That'd be awesome. Does he do that?
I don't know, but he is nominated for Latino Latino Pop Album of the Year. If you couldn't hear me over Aaron's laughing, Latino Pop Album. So that's his nominee. I don't know what the videos look like. I don't even know what the music looks like. It's nothing against Latino Pop. I don't listen to really anything that has the word pop in the
titles. Tyler, can you share your screen? Can you show us some of the videos, please?
No, we're in the middle of a podcast right now.
Yeah, and this is a good podcast topic.
Do you not have the YouTubes where you are?
I've heard of this.
Do you remember a few weeks ago when she was trying to share a screen and it took like after?
I'm saying she could mute herself and sit and watch sweaty Ricky Martin videos while the rest of us talk about better things.
One can only hope he's sweaty and shirtless.
Okay, now I'm actually going to look it up.
While Tyler's looking that up, I'm going to move on. And Avengers Infinity War Part 1 co-director Anthony Russo talked a little bit about The Defenders, the Netflix hit, and we will talk about it some this week because I know you guys brought it up and I missed out on the conversation now that I'm also participating in the Jessica Jones watching. But The Defenders supposedly don't really have a place in the cinematic universe is what Anthony Russo led up to. There is still rumor that Daredevil could find his way helping out the Avengers, but they're not expecting overall The Defenders fitting in. And Tyler, I wasn't here last week, but I will mention as I was editing the episode, you made some valid points that the Defenders, what they've created here in Netflix is very different than what we have in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So this kind of seemed like just a confirmation of what we probably already knew. Wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you'll get little bits and pieces and they'll reference each other, but the characters that they've created, not even just in tone, you know, like these are definitely not shows for kids, whereas the Avengers movies definitely are for everybody, but not even just in tone, like these are, you know, normal street level people just trying to get by, not billionaire philanthropists and actual gods and or, you know, secret government agents. So they're people who can't afford to get their door fixed.
True. Very true. So it is very different. And it would make sense out of any of those, although Daredevil, Luke Cage would also be a possible fit there. And Tyler, you did bring up last week, so I will confirm. I did. I started Jessica Jones, I guess about a little over, well, by the time this airs, about 2 weeks prior. And the first episode starts and you get a glimpse, you know, Jessica Jones, the very first episode, she's doing her private investigator stuff and she's taking pictures of this good sized black guy running the bar. And I'm like, he's got the Luke Cage thing going for him, but I'm like, that's not Luke Cage. He just doesn't seem swollen enough. He's not Luke Cage. But as you get halfway through the episode, I did reaffirm, I did text the group and say, never mind, I'm cool with this. He's doing pretty good. So I'm through about 5 episodes, I think, now, and Luke Cage is definitely a keeper. I'm really looking forward to that Netflix series.
How did you feel about the final, when he finally uttered the Sweet Christmas line and in the context.
No, the context is, I hate to kill it for anybody else, but it's, I think it's definitely, that would be Marvel Cinematic Universe appropriate, I think, in a way. It had a little bit comedic tone to it, for sure.
That's definitely Marvel Max right there, my friend.
So that was fun. That that whole scene was kind of fun, though, when they, well, not that one, but then the, no, yeah, that was after the one where they've already realized some things, so a little bit more aggressive. But it's a fun show. It's I don't know, you guys, Tyler, you mentioned you binge watched most of it. A lot of people, just like you typically do in Netflix series, binge watch it. It's a lot to digest to binge watch. I don't know. I can't sit through that many episodes at one time with it. It's a tough show.
I agree with that. I think it gets harder too. So we did, my wife and I did like 3 episodes, and then we did like 2 more episodes at a different time. And then Tenet's character really started kicking in, and then we ended up doing like 5 in a row because we both love David Tennant, you know, big Doctor Who fans and stuff like that. So it was really, really good to see kind of a different side of him. Not completely different, because there's still some of that like playfulness, I want to say, even though it's really very dark in this series.
Very different playfulness, Adam.
Right. But it's still there. And it reminded me, I got enough of it that I was like, all right, I can watch a bunch of these in a row, even though the subject matter doesn't get any easier as you get deeper into the series.
Yeah, I did Daredevil almost entirely in one sitting. Like, I think I watched the first like 10 in one sitting and then watched like the last 3 the next morning. But Jessica Jones, I think I did 5 the first sitting, then 3, and then 5. Like, I don't know how anyone could have sat and actually done all 13 of them in a row. It gets a little too intense there at points where, yeah, I just had to get up and go do something else for a while.
Daredevil's dark and gritty. It definitely has that. But at the same time, you get, it's still a superhero thing going. You still have the superhero. You still have, I mean, you'll have arcs that cover over the whole series. You have things, but it felt like that superhero toneness to it kind of kept it from going too deep, I guess. And, Kingpin, you know, I think Kingpin is fantastic. I think probably one of the best at rivaling there with David Tennant. But he's still that comic book style villain. Once you get into Jessica Jones here, it's I mean, it's obviously not real. There's a lot of not real things going on. But at the same time, it's like, it's really real. Like, it's really like, it's real. Like, it's just not, not pretty. I don't know. Aaron, what do you think about Jessica Jones?
Well, I think it's really good. As I've said in the previous podcasts, I really, really like it. I think I could watch more, but time just doesn't permit. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a lot more engaging than Daredevil was, if I'm comparing.
I'd agree with that. I think it is. I think it asks a little more of the viewer than Daredevil did, and certainly than the MCU does. You've got to explore a lot of things about what you think are right, what's right and what's wrong, and free will and choice and all that kind of good stuff. So I think it's really intriguing that they're getting into, that they picked that to be the second part of the like Defenders foursome that they're doing.
Oh, can I speak about, you know, what it's like to be a woman watching the show? Can I do that? Okay. I am a woman, and I like to say that I like the way that Jessica Jones is portrayed as just a regular human being. She's not like consistently pushed over the top, like, look, this lady has a vagina and she's a superhero and she's a badass. Like, sometimes they have badass women in movies and they just kind of like shove their womanness in your face, like super over the top cliche, as opposed to just focusing on them being a human and their humanity and they're dealing with issues every day. And I just freaking love that so much. Oh, and I also love the lesbian dynamic. I know it's just a tiny little aspect, but the lady who played, she was in The Matrix.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Thank you. Her relationship with her wife and her mistress is just, it's like, I mean, I know I'm not...
Well, I appreciate that they're not over-sexualizing that and that they're showing it as like a real relationship.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. So finish my sentence.
Sorry. Well, you were stumbling there, so I just kind of jumped in.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Go ahead, Aaron. Say it, and we'll cut this part. Go ahead and say it, and we'll cut this part.
I'm done. You know, I like how it wasn't too sexy. I mean, it's kind of sexy, but only because they're people and not because they're lesbians.
All right. Well, good talk.
Well, there was some more Defender news out today as well. They announced, so there's rumors that the Defenders itself as a TV show is going to be nixed by Netflix, like that they weren't going to do it or that it had stalled and all that kind of stuff. But they actually are out now with a show producer or a showrunner. Sorry, I don't.
You mean Iron Fist, not Defenders?
Is that Iron Fist? I thought it was the Defenders.
They were going to can Iron Fist.
They were going to can Iron Fist and just go straight to Defenders. Yeah. But then a couple weeks ago, they came out and said, no, we're totally doing Iron Fist. We just got some things going on right now. And then today they announced a showrunner for Iron Fist.
Well, then I misunderstood what I read.
And it's Scott Buck, who worked on both Dexter. Buck. What's that?
No. It's Joe Buck. He got fired by Fox.
It's definitely Scott Buck, who worked on both who worked on both 6 Feet Under and Dexter, which are both very good shows. So,
well, thank you for sitting me on the straight and narrow there. I appreciate that.
This is a really weird episode because somebody agreed with me about my taste in media, Adam, and then Adam was wrong. That doesn't ever happen. You guys
apparently it's happened twice today. If I agreed with you on media. And then was wrong a second time.
It's very weird.
Internet high five, Adam.
So, yeah. Adam was pointing out he was wrong twice.
That was sweet burn. Aaron. Sweet burn, and she didn't even get it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
See, there you go.
I hate you guys so bad. I hate you so bad sometimes. I wasn't understanding. I thought Adam was being nice. And now Adam is burning me. This is like three things.
For the record, it wasn't myself and then even Tyler bringing up to correct Aaron. It was actually somebody held a sign up spelling it out for her. For those of you that can't see us, it had to be spelled out for her.
You guys really suck. You know that?
I love you, Aaron. You know yeah. I love you.
Yeah. You're not getting a hug next time. So what else is new?
No soup for you, then no hug for you.
No hug for you. I give good hugs.
There's a lot new.
10 days.
He's going right into it. So there's a lot new. It's December, first of all. So, of course, we talked about award season. So every day you wake up, some new critic group or something's awarded something. You do have tons of video games on the market now that have actually had some time to be played out and developed. So our Fallout 4 review is live. Adam's had plenty of time now to play some. Have you picked up Assassin's Creed, right? You picked it up.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely picked it up.
So, I mean, you have all these games out in the market. And then, of course, movies, especially the award contenders, but specifically one in particular that Tyler's chanting 10 days about over there. So Star Wars.
I mean, when this airs, it'll be like 5 days, but
right. It'll be fewer days for sure.
Yes. It's exciting. Star Wars. It's funny because there's a lot of big movies that have come out over the past year and a half, and we've all been so busy and stuff. So we always in the podcast say, so who's going to go see it? Like, is anybody going to see it opening weekend? And Tyler's like, I may drive out to the draft house like next Wednesday. And Adam's like, well, I don't, there's not a good theater on it. And I'm going to be stupid and work all weekend. I have a feeling, though, do we even need to ask the question this time? Like,
well, I don't know. Did you get your tickets already? Because I got my tickets like a month and a half ago.
I have not picked up my tickets already.
You should probably look into that. You might not be seated opening day.
Well, not opening day, but opening weekend.
Yeah, it's really
only you might not be seen at opening times,
right? Yeah.
You obviously do not know about the poor man's draft house that I live near.
I'm just saying that it has pre-sold more tickets than any movie ever by like a factor of.
It's pre-sold large. More tickets than any like most movies. Almost any of them have sold all year already. Like that have already.
I mean, is there any chance that this doesn't demolish any opening weekend record ever? Like all of them that have ever been set.
No chance that it doesn't. The real question is,
is it good enough to become the highest grossing movie of all time?
Can it unseat Avatar? It's just a rotation thing here. We all finish each other's sentences, Aaron, without getting upset.
Well, you were kind of stumbling a little bit.
Well played. That was a good one.
Well played. I will give you that.
I mean, I don't believe it. I think you guys get upset. You guys are like giving each other dirty looks and stuff.
Anyways,
the problem is you just have to commit, and you see the problem is you guys let it happen. You let yourselves be interrupted and finish. You just keep going. You just keep trucking through.
Yeah, that's what Tyler does.
You can try and finish my sentence, but it's not going to happen because
that's right. I wish I had a deep, manly voice like yours, Tyler. Then I could get away with that.
It's not that he has a deep, manly voice. It's just that he knows how to project himself over everybody else. So he can kind of take
so
over.
So what's your excuse, Iggy Michniacki?
The same exact excuse. That's how I know how his works. That's.
I see. I see. You guys are like.
Since we're back on the movie, level. And I don't want to spend too much time on Star Wars because we are going to dedicate
Star Wars.
An entire episode to it. We can mention that Good Dinosaur is looking to be Pixar's first failure. Or we could also bring up that Trainspotting 2 cast rumors are starting. Or we could even bring up that Wes Anderson is returning to stop animation and Bill Murray will be voicing the main character. All good things. All good things.
All good things.
I don't know. What makes a movie a failure for Pixar? Just that it makes less than, you know, $300 million?
That basically, although you joke about that, it said that the reports I was reading said it took Inside Out making the $500 million theatrically to earn back what it cost to make that movie.
Oh, I believe it. Those Pixar movies are not cheap to make.
So, and Good Dinosaur's at about 175 at this point, and they're expecting it to not – or no, I'm sorry. It's projecting to finish around 175.
Yeah, it's 75 right now domestically, like 131 worldwide. It'll probably finish a little over 100 domestically, but
– So maybe it was 175 internationally expected is what I was reading, which is less than the – I think it was slightly less. This one was a cheaper one to make for them. But it was still not earning the money back theatrically. And it's hard to say because you bring up a good point because when it comes to these Disney movies or Pixar movies, even if it doesn't earn all the money back in the theater, in merchandising for one and two, home sales.
Disney never releases like production budget numbers for those animated movies. But at the same time, the way Pixar movies are made and the amount of time that's in production and the amount of duplicated work from people who are working on multiple movies at once or assets that are taken from a previous movie used in the next movie. I'm sure there's a balance sheet somewhere, but realistically, I'm sure it's fairly tough to actually put a straight dollar number on one of Pixar's animated movies, as opposed to a live action, you know, production that has this is the day we started shooting. This is the day we stopped shooting. This is how much we spent on special effects kind of thing. So,
well, even if you count like what it took to bring in those animators, what they were, the short movies they were working on to get ready to work together, to do all that, you know, like you said, there's so many factors that can go into something like that, which.
Well, and usually, I mean, the average Pixar movie like starts production, you know, probably 4 or 5 years before it's actually in a theater, as opposed to, you know, a movie might be in pre-production for a while, but very rarely does a movie get filmed and not hit the screen within, you know, maximum of like 6 to 12 months after like the film is in the can. So
true story. Trainspotting 2. I know it's been talked about a little bit and not a whole lot going on. Of course, Ewan McGregor is supposedly set to return. I'm looking at the list actually right now too. So Robert Carlyle, Johnny Lee
Miller. I listed the whole cast basically.
It's starting to look like that. And then, of course, Danny Boyle behind the camera again. Danny Boyle being behind the camera doesn't hurt it so bad. I am going to make that argument of it's, you know, we talk about it and you guys give me crap and then fuel me to be some like crazy nutcase that hates women and people. But I'm kind of getting over the, hey, we did this not 50 years ago, not in somebody else's generation, but we did this in your lifetime and we're already way down the road, finally going to make a sequel to try to get it going again or make a reboot or do something. And it's just, is it too late for this? I don't know.
I think it really depends on the film. I don't see Boyle as a cash grab kind of guy. So I feel like if he's on board, he's doing it because he has an idea of another story he wants to tell with those same characters.
Yeah.
Whatever that might be.
And
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I would be surprised if it in any way resembles the first Trainspotting. Because if there's one thing that you can say about Danny Boyle, he's never made the same movie twice. Like, he is...
Not even close.
The same genre of movies twice.
He's the king of, you know, stretching out and trying something new and I mean, everything he does is so diametrically opposed to whatever he's done previously. Anything from Slumdog Millionaire to Millions to Trainspotting to
Sunshine
to what's the really early movie he made with Ian McGregor, like in one of his very first ones. Like they're so different from each other.
I don't know. You got 28 Days Later, also a zombie flick right there. You left out what is it? Is it 27 hours? What's it with James Franco?
Oh yeah, 127
hours. 127
hours,
which is
and Steve Jobs,
biopic,
obviously.
Dude, yeah. You guys like are freaking walking IMDb.
No, it's Danny Boyle.
It's Danny Boyle.
Seriously,
whatever. Come on. Who needs IMDb when you just got the three of you put together?
We need
Danny
IMDb.
Boyle is on a level at which you should, as a movie fan, you should.
I'm not gonna put Boyle at the same
That's
level.
A lot of movies.
Kind of the same thing of like, can we list almost all, if not all, of Kubrick's collections?
I mean, I would put him like, to put it in Aaron terms. I would put him on the same level as an Anderson. Like, can you list all of Wes Anderson's movies? You should be able to list all of.
I mean, obviously, but there's only like eight
in
of them.
In terms
We've
of.
Only listed like.
That's only like eight Danny Boyle movies.
Okay, well.
I'm saying in terms of ability.
I can't keep
prestige,
track of more than one filmmaker.
Things that they have done, I would say that Wes Anderson and Danny Boyle are on a very similar level. Although Wes Anderson has made the same movie a couple times.
I think he does make the same genre.
If I'm counting correctly in my head, I actually think I have 9 Wes Anderson movies. So I think Aaron.
Whatever. I can't just pull this. Like, I can't just immediately. I'm not a friggin' IMDb like you guys. You guys are crazy good. Are you pulling up IMDb right now?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'll accept that compliment if the other two guys won't. Thank you, Aaron.
I'm not pulling it up, but yeah, I mean, thank you.
Did you just say you're not owning up
it
to
would
that?
Be,
I'm not pulling it up.
Yes. I was pulling it up. She was asking me. But it is 9 movies for Wes Anderson.
Oh, thank you. I love it when I get proved wrong. I love it. I love it when that happens.
You must be happy all the time.
I'm freaking... Ah, jeez.
And hold on, because Boyle's a bit more difficult because he has a lot of TV direction in his earlier career, so... Shallow Graves, your early one that you were looking for, or Life Less Ordinary?
No, Life Less Ordinary. Shallow Graves, though, I do love.
How did we leave off? We did leave off The Beach also, which is another completely different one. So
back when Leonardo DiCaprio was trying to be like, I'm not just that kid from Titanic. I don't know. That book is really good, and I had high hopes for that movie, but it turns into this weird
11
sexualized Lord of the Flies.
11 for Danny Boyle, if you count Trance, which... I don't really know if anybody saw that movie. You saw it? Okay.
I mean, I don't want to sound crude and ridiculous about this, but it's got some really good people in it, and it has a lot of Rosario Dawson, if you know what I mean.
Okay, I know what this is now. I think Tyler has talked about this movie before. It took one thing for me to remind me of what Tyler was talking about with it, but anyways.
And James McAvoy is like the main character, but there's a, and what's his
okay.
name?
Okay, okay.
Cavell.
I've seen that movie.
He's Danny Boyle, by the way. He's the guy who works at the auction house, working with the art thief, and Rosario Dawson's the psychiatrist who gets super naked.
That's a good movie.
It's a lot of fun.
Vincent Cassell, are you talking about?
Vincent Cassell, there you go. Vincent Cassell. I like Vincent Cassell.
Yeah.
He's a
typical in another.
So I got to be impressed.
We could probably name all the movies.
On the time, time-wise, where are we at, Iggy?
We have about 18 minutes.
So I realize that you took a week off and that you're not really like on your A game today, but how is it that we've gone this long?
I stumbled out the gate, but you have yet to bring it up.
You have yet to bring it up.
Bring what up?
There was a thing that happened last week that was kind of a big deal for you.
Give him the eyes like you're giving him. Just keep.
We're gonna
keep
have to.
The
we're
eyebrow.
Gonna have to cut this because there's about to be a moment where I go, "Oh shit!" Because
so last week there was a late night television show hosted by a gentleman, and on his show he gave the world premiere of a trailer for a film.
Oh. You just because you want me to talk about it, and you even brought it up last week and said I would bring it up this week, but I wasn't going to say anything.
How are you not going to say anything?
The main reason I bring up the Batman Superman Dawn of Justice is mostly to just annoy Tyler.
Yeah, but this is a legitimate reason to bring it up. All the other reasons you've had to bring it up have been non-legitimate.
It was a clusterfuck. It was a literal 3 minutes of just
nonsense. Hey,
what,
yeah, I know.
What have we filmed already? And what has at least some special effects already put in place? Let's just throw that in there and call it good.
Oh, and let's also, in the trailer that comes out almost a year before the movie comes out, go ahead and spoil the big reveal of, like,
the villain.
The villain and Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah, how she comes into play.
Let's spoil both of their reveals.
There's a really funny line, guys, so we got to make sure we put that in the trailer because the trailer's very serious, and we just need that comedic tone right there about.
Did you guys watch the recut trailer that I posted?
The fan edit you shared. Yeah, that was like three.
How much better was that?
Oh, phenomenal. And they had to take a couple clips from the first trailer, and they left out a lot of that spoiler stuff that we're talking about.
Yep, they cut the spoiler and stuff, and they took bits and pieces of the early part and moved it to the end and changed the tone of that whole scene. But that was so much better trailer. But yeah, it's a giant clusterfuck. But I'm saying, like, all the rumors and stuff that you used to bring it up, like,
The best part of the trailer was the one single scene which looked like a really just good, intense meeting scene between Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. I like the dialogue exchange there. I think both actors are very capable of their characters, and I think that really kind of proves it. The concern is it's a mess behind the camera and everything else going on.
Something Zack Snyder's doing is a bit of a mess.
Yeah, the casting we have going on.
Narratively.
The more we see of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, the more I'm convinced. It's just when you throw it all, it's like you took great ingredients and just threw it all in a pot together. Didn't even think if it should go together.
Hold on. Did you guys see the part where Ben Affleck was playing Bruce Wayne?
We missed that part.
How do you feel about the villain being General Bizarro Zod's Day?
That was weird.
Or like he's like, yeah. But how do I feel about Lex Luthor being anything but a Lex Luthor? Like, I mean,
maybe it's a Lex Luthor origin story.
I don't know. I still hope that the rumors are true. Going back to rumors, Tyler, that this is actually Lex Luthor Jr. Cause you're far enough advanced in some of these other characters, you know, Batman's older, things like that. So there's been a lot of rumor that this is Lex Luthor Jr. If you're familiar with the comics what story arcs? I know, is it Earth 2 and stuff like that? Tyler might know better. There is Lex Luthor has a child and a young son, and he's like a really just like one of those bratty private school like kids. You never really get a Lex Luthor Jr. as an adult, though, or at least I haven't seen it. I don't know, Tyler. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't really remember him being a big part of it
at all. You're the DC guy. I have bits and pieces of Spider-Man. Okay. Of Batman lore mixed in here.
So we're going to go with what I'm saying, even if I have no evidence to back it up then. Anyway.
I mean, if we want to talk about a trailer that came out last week that wasn't a giant train wreck, we can talk about the trailer for Shane Black's new movie. Because The Nice Guys looks awesome.
Yes. The Russell Crowe, that's just not even Russell Crowe is fantastic. Did you watch it, Adam? Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling, it's pretty solid.
It looks really good. I mean, I don't watch a lot of trailers, but that one looked dang good.
Can we talk about Abnormalies tonight's recording? Aaron has seen a trailer before Adam did, so.
We'll watch it afterwards.
You guys made fun of me like a whole bunch, but this is cool because I'm winning something.
Can we bring up this?
We got dogs and cats living together. Total pandemonium here, people.
Mass hysteria. It's true.
And we've been talking. About sequels and franchises and remakes. And one thing I didn't even notice till I just went to IMDb, there's a new trailer for a new Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movie.
Why?
I just watched it earlier today, and it is Netflix only. And definitely in English. So.
Oh.
Well, both those things just kind of took the fun out of it.
And the music playing in the background is like a weird cover version of, I don't even remember what the song was now.
Like an Enya song?
No, it's I'll tell you here in a second. If I just hear the beginning of it.
While he's looking for that, can we talk about how I'm now going to start a band that's an Enya cover band?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about it. Go for it. I really thought Adam's going to be like, hey, can we now talk about video games? Because you guys haven't let me talk about video games all episode. But I kind of like the idea more of you in an Enya cover band.
Me too. Coming to a city near you. Whatever Enya is backwards. Enya.
Enya.
it's still Enya. Damn it.
I mean, you just ain't ya. Yeah, you just kind of put a southern act. You're in Arkansas, so it makes sense. Just
that works, right? Yeah, I got a little southern twang on it.
All right. So while Tyler is looking up that, why don't you give us some video game updates for the week of December 11th here?
So obviously, Fallout still basically dominating everybody that I know who plays video games, their video games. Also, a lot of folks, I did get Star Wars Battlefront. I don't know if I talked about this last week. Pretty underwhelmed. There's no, like, actually no story mode. Like, there's no single player play through this game. There are missions that you can do and a lot of PvP, multiplayer, online stuff, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it's cool, and obviously you can, you know, you get a kill streak and you can become Emperor or Palpatine, you know, that's pretty awesome. And, you know, force lightning everybody to death, so that's fun. But, you know, I don't know. That doesn't hold enough for me, and I had really, really high expectations for Battlefront, and I'm a little disappointed in that.
Send it this way if you want to.
I really wanted it, and I had high hopes like he did, but I was concerned it was going to be a Star Wars skin of Battlefield, which is what it looks to be, but I'm okay with that. Like, I'm willing to buy a game just because it has Star Wars sound effects and blasters and lightsabers. There's just not enough content there for it, but I will probably buy it once at least one or two of the DLCs have come out. There's a few more maps, a few more game modes. I'll probably pick it up, but it's not worth the $60 to me right now, so... Not when I could be exploring the Commonwealth.
All right. So before we head into final thoughts, I do want to bring up one thing that also happened in this past week, and that was Scott Weiland's passing. For those of us, I mean, it's pretty evident, those of you that have met us on the road or have seen us and everything, we are all 80s born and grew up, you know, the right time in the 90s, that whether you loved them or you just liked them, Stone Temple Pilots was definitely a factor in the music scene, and even Velvet Revolver to a degree at later days. So I just thought we would share. I don't know if I could pick. I was going to say we should share our favorite, you know, STP or Velvet Revolver song, but I'm kind of torn in between what Push and Vaseline. I don't know.
That's a tough one for me. STP was never my biggest band at that time period. So certainly anything off of, I can't remember the name of the album now, but there are actually a couple albums that Interstate, I listened to.
I'm sorry, but Interstate Love Song from Purple?
Purple album.
Yeah.
Purple album.
It's a good one. Yeah. Good song. Super good. I don't think I could pick a favorite because I don't know if I enjoy listening to them, but none of them really rated on my radar at that point in time.
Okay. Aaron, was that your favorite then that you were shouting out there?
I'm sorry, I got really excited because I this is something that I actually know. STP was like one of my absolute favorite bands, period, from like 1995 to about 2005. Like, it was right up there with...
Even the later stuff when things got really bad?
Yes. Like that one where they had the video with
Michelle Geller.
Thank you, Sarah Michelle Geller. The Pretty Girl song.
Hold on, guys. Erin knows this stuff. Let's let her finish.
You stop it. My words are not so good. But I did love STP. I loved him. Loved him real hard. And part of the reason, I mean, and I also really loved Scott Weiland. I loved his voice. It really hit me hard when I heard of his passing. I really, really liked Scott Weiland a lot.
Tyler, any favorites from STP, Velvet Revolver? I feel terrible. I mean, he kind of faded out, he was touring with the new band, but I can't think of the name of it right now. I hadn't really heard much from them.
I don't know. I was a Stone Temple Pilots guy. Like, not, they weren't like my number one, but I definitely was way into their stuff. But if I had to think, if I had to pick one, it's probably a toss up between Creep and Sour Girl.
I good really ones
like well. Sour Girl.
Sour Girl's the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Those early albums were definitely really good. The biggest thing, whether you loved them or you didn't, Scott Weiland was, like we said, was definitely not only Scott Weiland's voice, but the Stone Temple Pilots together were impactful on the 90s music, which it's hard to say. To me, that seems like the last great decade we'd had of music. We've had good music since, but it hasn't been like the 90s since. And I don't say that about a lot of things in the entertainment industry. Some of his former bandmates probably said it best when I heard it on the radio listening to Sirius XM. You know, there was a lot of drama that went on with those bands. Scott Weiland suffered from a lot of substance abuse, which tore apart both Stone Temple Pilots and Velvet Revolver. But his bandmates brought it up good. It's no matter how you felt about him at the moment or if he caused problems, he was still their family. And so it definitely hits home and hurts them because they spent many, many years and many, many nights together. And so it's one of those things that whether he's remembered for his voice and being a great singer, if this does end up turning out what it seems the most obvious to be, a young musician, drug overdose going before his time, whatever it is, it definitely one of those things that it's, he impacted the music industry in a lot of ways. And hopefully people will remember, you know, the good music and the good times that he brought to it. So for sure. Another solid one from the 90s gone. So I do know I will be listening to some more Stone Temple Pilots over that. And if you do have SiriusXM, I think it's Station Tyler 34 Lithium. Pick it up. They're playing plenty of SCP, and Matt Pinfield is chiming in often to talk about Weiland and bands.
I do love me some Lithium.
All right. So we're running low on time. Brought it all up there. We're going to go around about here and close with some final thoughts. Aaron, I will also commend you on your attempt to do whatever you tried to do with the final thoughts last week. It was impressive that you tried there. It's really not that hard. All you have to say is it's time for final thoughts. But hey, we all love you still. So let's get some final thoughts going this week. She's making
thanks,
me angry.
Thanks for the pat on the head.
So I won't make her start, though, so I'll give her a thing. So Adam or Tyler, one of you want to kick us off with some final thoughts this week?
As much as I'd like to just talk about Star Wars, I think one thing we haven't talked about a lot lately, and I know it's because a lot of us just don't have time to watch it, there's been a lot of really good TV on lately. A lot of new seasons, a lot of shows wrapping up that have been awesome, and I don't think we've talked about it enough. Just to throw out a few, Ash versus the Evil Dead has been super fun, and if you haven't been watching it, you should probably check it out. Get your Bruce Campbell fix, among other things. Lucy Lawless shows up.
Groovy.
There's some things going on. I still love the Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We talked about a little bit Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime as another binge-worthy show. The new season of Fargo has been a ton of fun, and I really... the first season was just ridiculous and over the top, and the second season was even worse. There's a show on FXS called You're the Worst, and it's really, really good. So check that out.
All right, TV there. Adam?
I'm still playing a bunch of video games. I actually had some friends over tonight who were like, we were talking video games. They're like, oh yeah, I like scary video games. I'm like, oh, you like scary video games. Okay. Well, let me introduce you to this game called Outlast. Have you ever heard of this before? And they're like, no. I'm like, all right, well, here's a controller and let me start the game for you. And then I proceeded to listen to them scream hysterically at my TV for the next hour. It was absolutely phenomenal. So if you haven't played Outlast and you like scary video games, this one is legitimately very scary. Lots of jump scares, lots of just really tense situations. Totally available on your PS4 or PC. I recommend picking that up. Also, some exciting news for me. Destiny has a new game mode coming out tomorrow. They are doing sparrow races, legitimate sparrow races. Like you go and you and all your friends and you race against each other on different courses and stuff like that. So that looks pretty interesting. Just kind of another way to get friends and stuff like that playing online. So I'm excited for that. That's all I got.
All right, Aaron, are you going to be able to give us a final thought?
Well, I've been thinking about it, and I was thinking that maybe I should try and redeem myself from last week, but I'm just going to go ahead and go and say that I'm still really excited about Batman and Superman, and I think you all should be too, because it's Ben Affleck as Batman. And also, I'm probably going to watch some Ricky Martin videos after this, and I hope that there's like sexy guy love in it. That's all.
Can we start offering a podcast redemption?
The podcast redemption.
Did I redeem myself? No.
I will tell you, I took a little gander at a couple of his recent music videos, and not a lot of sweat, not a lot of, he's mostly fully clothed in them, but he's still a pretty sexy dude.
A lot of gray hair.
Okay.
He's still doing work.
So final thought from this end, has to go with Uber. So we all remember this summer when in a few markets, Chicago, a few other big cities, Uber offered bringing you pets to cuddle you and make you happier. So now in 18 markets, specifically mostly in the Southeast, Uber has teamed up with Mellow Mushroom to deliver you a free pizza. Not just a pizza, but a free pizza. No delivery, no tip, no charge. And Adam, one of those cities is Tallahassee, Florida there. So you can dial in Uber, ask them to deliver you a free pizza. I can tell you one thing, Uber, we sit here and talk about who's going to end up being Skynet. Is it Apple, Google, whoever else, Facebook? I think it's going to be Uber. They're making all the right moves right now, guys. Pets and, you know, pets to cuddle and free pizza. Count me in.
You didn't even mention the partnership they did during PAX where they would come and pick
you up
in a Mad Max vehicle.
That's right. In the Mad Max vehicles up in Seattle. That's, yeah, they pretty awesome going there. And it's funny because Lyft is trying to partner with a bunch of other companies to even compete with them because Uber is just skyrocketing ahead of the new pack there. So, all right. So that's it for the latest Nerdcast. We will be back next week. And then after that, we will jump on board for a special Star Wars filled episode, and it will be spoiler filled, just to warn you. So if you do join us for our Star Wars movie night short episode in a couple weeks, just keep that in mind. Make sure you've seen it before watching or listening, whatever you do with these things. And of course, we do have the Christmas Friday and New Year's Friday coming up, so we will be off for a couple weeks. We might have some holiday messages for you, but other than that, full episodes will disappear for a couple weeks as we try to pretend like we have personal lives, but you know, we're going to be playing video games and watching movies and doing nothing, right? But either way,
that is my personal.
That's it, there you go. So either way, that's it for this episode of Nerdcast. Till next week, same nerd time, same nerd channel.